This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Ever wanted to leap tall buildings, uphold the law, solve a crime, but just don't have the time?
Go!
Tune in to Joy 94.9, Wednesdays from midday.
When Victoria Police gay and lesbian liaison officers
Gabby and Scott
ask for your help in solving crime.
Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
And welcome to Community Matters. How come we changed the name on the Vic Police Glow Show and it just has not impregnated itself in my brain? What is the name of our show?
It's the Victoria Police Community Hour. Maybe we should get that right. One of these days we will.
And that voice is our Northwest Region Glow for Victoria Police, Senior Constable Gabby Tyack. And joining her as well is Acting Sergeant Electra Wellens.
Hello, and back again. Yay!
Are you back with the Acting Sergeant role?
Yeah. Just for the next month, and then we'll review it after that.
Fantastic. And you're normally situated out at Bacchus Marsh?
That's where I actually personally live.
Oh, wow. Well.
You're on the ball, Greg. My God.
He is. But I'm stationed at Caroline Springs. So at the moment, I'm splitting roles between Caroline Springs and in at here in Scott's old role until the position gets advertised.
Which is his old role was the manager of the Gay and Lesbian Advisory Unit, which has changed structure under the rebranded and restructured Victoria Police. And Scott Davis is now out at the Police Academy in Glen Waverley.
Absolutely.
And joining us as well is Jo Baird from Crime Stoppers. Welcome, Jo.
Hello. Thank you.
No stranger to the relationship we have between Victoria Police, Crime Stoppers, Joy 94.9, the Anti-Violence Project, which I head, Greg Atkins is my name, and you, the listener of Joy 94.9. Thank you for joining us. Now, today's show, we've got a bit of a jam-packed show, haven't we?
We have, and I'm still recovering from Idaho last week. We had our usual Wednesday show, and then we had a special on the Thursday with you, and you did a wonderful job, Greg.
Well, we all did a wonderful job. And if you haven't heard it, there's a podcast up for Idaho here on Joy 94.9. Check out our podcasts. You can hear a range of people. We had Ken Lay, the Chief Commissioner of Police. We had Karen Tui, the CEO of Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission Victoria. We had Ros Ward from Safe Schools Coalition, Micah Scott from Minus 18. We had Damien Stevens in Shepparton. We had a cast of thousands joining us for International Day Against Homophobia.
It was excellent and just really shows that momentum around that day. So many events happening right across the state as well, which we linked into.
Fabulous. And the important part was you. And it's not just one day. It's one day in May 17, and it's a whole year of action that takes place after Idaho.
Yeah, so a bit later on today, we'll be talking to Scott, and he'll reminisce a bit about what happened on May 17 last week, and also reminisce about what's happened in the Victoria Police over the last few years as well and how things have changed. And, of course, Jo Baird's going to be giving us the stats and roundup of April Crime Stoppers information and a few other things that's going on at Crime Stoppers this month.
Fantastic. It's a bit of a magical show.
It is.
And that's just it. We've got a bit of music. Joy 94.9. You're on Victoria Police Community Hour here on Joy 94.9. Now we have a crime.
We do. Our crime of the week is a burglary in Ringwood East at about 6:30 a.m. on the 9th of April this year. Cash was stolen from an office inside a sports club on Mount Dandenong Road in Ringwood East. It's alleged that a man gained access to the sports club by jemmying a boarded area that had been erected over a temporary entranceway. The man's described as wearing a black hooded top, black track pants and gloves, and was carrying a duffel bag. And we've released images of a man whom we believe may be able to assist us in our inquiries, and the reference is CA6200. So, you know, quite a frightening crime if you saw this guy wandering down the street. He's got into the sports club by jimmying open a door and stolen some property. So if you get onto the Crime Stoppers website, obviously you can't see his face, but you might recognise some clothing or might have heard someone talking about something that they've done, this sort of thing. So if you get onto the website, look at the photos, and hopefully you can help us identify him.
Now remember, if you see something,
say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
You are on the Vic Police Community Hour here on Joy 94.9 with Electra Wellens, Gabby Tyack, both from Victoria Police, and Greg Atkins here from the Anti-Violence Project. Joe Baird is also with us.
I'm here.
You are, Joe Baird, soon to be Joe Presser Baird, but that's another story. And joining us on the line is Scott Davis. Welcome, Scott. We've lost Scott Davis. So we'll come back to Scott in a second. Tell us about your experience.
Well, I made a bit of a boo-boo because I said that was the crime of the week and it wasn't. So Joe will come back later on and give you the crime of the week. But, you know, these things happen on air. Apparently we don't know the name of our show, any of us. So boo-boos happen.
Hey, boo-boo.
So we're trying to get Scott Davis on the line to talk about Idaho last week, because a lot of stuff went on. Some really wonderful things went on at the Academy, and we've even got an article in our internal newsletter, which goes around, I think, every fortnight through Victoria Police, and pretty much everyone who works for Victoria Police, sworn and unsworn, reads this newsletter. So
absolutely, and there was a lot of success even in our workplace. I know that the information that went out on the Victoria Police bulletin board about Idaho happening was the inspiration for discussion over the, you know, over the partitions and around the tabletop. So that in itself, I think, is, you know, success for the day.
I totally agree with that, because when I was out at the Academy yesterday talking to Scott, we were talking about a particular where recruits actually come back. Their constables are out in the field and they're working, and they come back and they have to do a presentation. And one of the presentations they did was about pretty much like about Pride March. How do we police that? How we manage that? They had to do a little demonstration. They chose to do that subject by themselves. So we can't help but think, open those discussions in the workplace for them to actually do then a presentation, because it was Idaho Week or Idaho Day, so to speak, because they'd been advertising out at the Academy. So I think that's really important, is about those open discussions by just talking about the subject in the workplace.
Absolutely. And it made me wonder if next year we should do a little fundraiser locally and do a lunch or something like that, where people can make a donation and do something. And so in the workplace, it inspires a discussion about Idaho, about homophobia.
Now, Scott Davis, what did it mean to you? And thank you for joining us on the line all the way from the Victoria Police Academy in Glen Waverley. What did it mean for you hearing the activity happening at Joy, and you came on the line and participated? What is the gut reaction you have about being part of Idaho in 2012?
I sat here at work on Monday and I opened what's called the Gazette, or the Police Gazette, which sort of is an information newsletter that comes out fortnightly within Victoria Police. And in there on the second or third page was a story about the whole Idaho activities that Victoria Police had participated in. And, you know, my gut reaction was, you know, I didn't have to do any of it this year. I had been able to hand on the baton to Electra and to Mikey Welsh out here at the Academy, and they picked it up and they ran with it, and it was so great to see that Victoria Police was able to continue on with our involvement in Idaho without me having to lift a finger, really.
And that's right, Gabby did some work too behind the scenes in regards.
Yes, I forgot, Gab. Sorry.
I know, you're just on autopilot, in arranging the Chief Commissioner to come in and do the radio show as well.
Exactly right.
Now, you've been under a number of Chief Commissioners of Police in your 8 or 9 years as involved with the Gay and Lesbian Liaison here in Victoria Police.
Yes.
You've first started with, I suppose, in that role under
Christine Nixon.
Well, were you there before Christine Nixon in that role?
No, I wasn't. It was just Melinda Edwards first up when it was Neil Comrie.
That's right. And then you took over from Melinda, yep, after Christine Nixon had started.
That's right.
And then from that, Simon Overland.
Yep.
And into the new chief, where there's been a slight rejigging, restructuring. You've moved forward to training, which is a very important part of how we bring in communities into new police recruits. What's it been for you to be part of a changing culture in Victoria Police?
And you know what? It really we've seen significant change in Victoria Police over the 8 or so years that I was doing gay and lesbian liaison. At the top, I think there was always the commitment that things were going to change, and it sort of has taken a bit of time to filter down through the different echelons of the ranks of Victoria Police, and it's pretty well embedded right through all of the ranks now. But can I say how impressed I am with the current Chief Commissioner? He is the only Chief Commissioner that has attended the Victoria Police Gay and Lesbian Reference Group meeting, which you're a member of, Greg. He's been on Joy with us 3 times, and each time he has insisted that it's him that be on. You know, he's got a really strong commitment to GLBTI community and GLBTI issues that impact on policing. So it's great times in Victoria Police, it really is.
And that dedication went on even with Pride March. He'd actually made a commitment to come along to Pride March, but beyond his control, he couldn't go. But he actually did attend on the day in person, but just couldn't march due to time commitments that he had. So, yeah, there's another example where he's actually gone out of his way to actually personally be involved.
And I think one of our wonderful listeners of this show summed it up last week when he was on air for the Idaho Special about how much of a human person he seems. He's very genuine when he speaks and he's on air.
Well, I want to share a little moment from last week that to me shows about the depth of the person that's occupying the role of Chief Commissioner.
Greg, look, I think you're right, though. Having said that, we're still seeing not great increase in numbers of the prejudice motivated crime, and that's worrying. But I know with our GLOW network, with the work of Scott, the work of Gabby, that we are capturing more of those crimes and understanding it better. But I'd still like to see a lot more. So we've still got a way to go.
Now, he was very passionate about prejudice motivated crime. He seems to get that connection between the drivers around prejudice, what happens and impacts gays, lesbians, transgendered and bisexual people from outside, and the work that has to be done in the broad community to connect those of us that experience that type of violence, that type of crime, with you guys, the Victoria Police, to make a difference. So
I think there's absolutely no doubt he gets it. I mean, he, as he's explained a number of times on the radio show, he's from a community background. He grew up in a small regional community. He understands community, and he understands the impact that violence, discrimination can have on communities. So I agree, he thoroughly gets it.
And the other part there is I like to reflect on and the fantastic work you do at the Police Academy, the support you start to play for people of different cultures, different faiths, but definitely sexualities and genders that are coming through as brand new police recruits. Now, if this is pervading violence in the broad community against our communities, what's it like existing within the network of Victoria Police that have to deal with that while actually having that sexuality or that gender identity within the people that are supposed to police what's happening from outside?
And we've got a number of support mechanisms within policing to be able to do that. And, you know, we've set up out here at the Academy a simple process for everybody who arrives. We've got a GLBTI support network, which is run between myself and one of our other gay and lesbian liaison officers, Mikey Welsh, and we've got posters all around the Academy basically promoting a service where there can be confidential conversations that take place with either one of us about any issues that they might be facing in their personal life or within the work that you know, might be related back to their sexual orientation or gender identity.
And I think, Scott, one great thing about Victoria Police now is when we're looking at our recruitment, we don't have to focus on the GLBTIQ community because we are represented so well in Victoria Police already.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there is no doubt in every squad that comes through here, I'm looking there, the gaydar goes off and you're saying that, yeah, I reckon this person. And, you know, you don't ask and there's no expectation on people to tell. But you know that there is a very good representation in every squad here at the Academy, and it certainly goes well and truly up the line to, well, at Pride March this year we had an acting assistant commissioner who's openly gay in Pride March with us.
Well, it's even percolating, as I've said before, out into the protective services officers that you guys are training. I had a particular sergeant that I've come to know through the anti-violence project work I do, Scott, who's now coming up and saying hello to me, and he's quite comfortable about the relationship the anti-violence project has with Victoria Police. So it's moving up the ranks into the more senior members of police force.
Yep.
That we are a community that wants to work in partnership with you guys.
Absolutely.
So a credit to you. Now, your work today, what are you doing on the plate out there at the Police Academy today?
Well, tomorrow we've actually got a luncheon to thank a number of people who've been involved in community encounters out here for over 3 years now. So my job at the moment is putting together the awards list and how we're going to thank our people and make sure that the lunch that we've got going is all going to work well.
Fantastic. And then it's community encounters tomorrow afternoon.
Community encounters tomorrow afternoon. And our GLBTI session for recruits is 7:45 tomorrow morning. So I'm going to have to be here bright and early and with the uniform on, ready to present to our latest group, which came in on Monday.
Now, if you're listening and you want to be a person in the uniform, in the blue, Victoria Police, or perhaps a Protective Services officer,
in the white.
How do people go about contacting recruitment of Victoria Police?
The best way to get onto it is through the police website, police.vic.gov.au. And all of our recruitment information for both Protective Service Officers and Police is on there.
Now, you're on the Victoria Police Community Hour with Lecturer Wellens, Gabby Tyer, Greg Akins, Joe Baird from Crime Stoppers, and that's Scott Davis on the phone. If you're successful in getting into Victoria Police, you can roam anywhere between the ranks. You can roam upwards. You become Chief Commissioner of Police. And just for Ken Lay, we've got B-52s. With Roam Where You Want To. This is on Joy 94.9. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
You're with the Vic Police Community Hour here on Joy 94.9, partnership between Victoria Police Close, Crime Stoppers with Joe Baird, we're about to hear from, the beautiful voice of Joe Baird, Joy 94.9, of course, and the Anti-Violence Project. But you're the most important part of this relationship.
Rightio. Thanks, Greg. Now we're going to go into our crime of the week, the real crime of the week, Gabby, which is an attempted armed robbery in Noble Park. We are seeking the identity of a man who was involved in an attempted armed robbery of a milk bar in Noble Park. At about 6:40 p.m. on Saturday 19th of November last year, the man allegedly entered a store with an accomplice. They asked a staff member for change to use the public phone, and when he opened the till, one of the men made threats with a hammer and the other attempted to steal cash from the till. Both men fled the store when the staff member pulled out a hockey stick from behind the counter. The first man has since been charged, however, the identity of the second is still sought. He's described as Caucasian, 175 to 180 centimetres tall, that was 175 to 180 centimetres tall, with a medium build, light brown hair and high-cut sideburns. He possibly had a small tattoo on his right ankle, and at the time he was wearing a bright blue baseball cap with a dark jacket, shorts and yellow runners. We do have an image of a man who police would like to speak to. You'll find it at crimestoppers.com.au and you can enter CA6087 in the search field.
Do you know, the runners he's wearing, Joe, are quite distinct with the sole. It's got a white sort of ripple sole underneath. It's got a black sort of sole at the bottom of the white undersole. They're distinct. You'll see them, you'll recognise them. This is one of those moments where if you get out to the Crime Stoppers website, you'll have some distinct features you can recognise.
The photo of him is really clear with this one. So Noble Park area, if you live around the area or know anyone who does, then get across to crimestoppers.com.au and hopefully you'll be able to help us solve a crime.
If you remember, if you see something,
say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
You're on the Community Hour here on Joy 94.9 with Victoria Police and our partnership with Crime Stoppers and the Anti-Violence Project.
This is the exciting part of the month for me, Greg, and this is where we get to talk about our roundup for April. So I guess the results of interest and our success with Crime Stoppers for the month of April. We had around 80 arrests during April for crimes including criminal damage and graffiti, dealing and possessing drugs, also lots of drug and cannabis cultivation. We also had possession of illegal weapons and explosives, sex offences and theft of cars and other property. So included in the total arrests were over 230 charges. So that's a good result for us.
You know, why do people continue to do stuff, Joe? You reckon that crime stats would drop down to zero? I mean, isn't the aim to get it down to zero? The aim is to have people in society respecting each other and not having offences take place.
Absolutely.
That's the goal. Do you think we'll ever get there?
I certainly hope so, Greg.
I can answer that.
Go on.
You don't think so again?
We won't get there.
Yeah, I'd like to think that it's always about, we always keep encouraging that reporting, reporting, reporting. We want you to report things. If you see something, say something. What you might be observing might be a lead up to something that someone's casing a place. So whatever it is, I don't think it'll ever get down to a zero. I think there's an innate thing of opportunistic crime, and that's a very hard one to overcome, other than taking sort of crime prevention techniques, security that you can put in place to try and prevent that. But there's that opportunistic crime, whether it's laziness of the public that they've left something out, it's that almost human nature that's too good to be true, or there's an opportunity to steal something. So I think from that perspective, it's a hard one that we'd ever get down to zero.
But I think a really positive thing, and something that we really work on, Greg, is that a lot of the behaviour is recidivist, which means people repeat the same behaviours, and I do believe that there is a chance for rehabilitation for people, and sometimes that comes through somebody reporting someone they know doing illegal things. You can report to Crime Stoppers and not get involved, and you might actually be helping someone. You might be helping someone stop a life of crime. And I know that, you know.
Yeah, sometimes it's that intervention, isn't it, between a family member or a loved one, that you know what's going on. You've tried all these type of things to try to link them in as much as you go, and you just go, look, I just really need to do that. I think they're really in an unsafe place and things are getting worse for them, and I need to relay that information. And it can be anonymous, clearly.
And there's a generational aspect too. Kids growing into an environment where the parents will walk down the street, and if they find a car with the buttons undone, they'll go and case the car or pull stuff out of the car. Or if they walk down the street and the kids see their parents look for the phone that's on display, and they'll smash a window and grab it. If we can stop the parents showing the next generation how to do it, then we start to chip away at the real crime.
Absolutely, and I think sometimes getting caught really does translate to getting help.
And that's why we're always harping on about report, 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 because of the recidivism that, if someone's doing one crime one day, they're likely to do it again. And if you see it and don't report it, then there's a little bit of responsibility there that you haven't reported and that person's committed it again. If you had reported, maybe they wouldn't have.
Yeah. Now, look, also during April, $1,167,695 worth of drugs were recorded as confiscated as a result of information coming through Crime Stoppers.
Wow.
And also over $70,000 worth of property or proceeds of crimes being recovered, and that was just what we captured.
Now, where does the proceeds of crime go after courts have chipped away and decided to dispose of people's assets?
Well, actually, look, proceeds of crime can be where the victims can actually access that amount. It can go back into a variety of resources. But often enough, I think you may see now through the court system, often enough the judicial system will actually say, I want you to make a donation to a particular cause. So that's a different aspect of it. But the proceeds of crime can be utilised. So items could be utilised by police for a particular operation. So it's not all relates to cash. It can relate to property as well, proceeds of crime. So they don't always cash them or sell them to equate to cash. It might be something that could be used as a resource for Victoria Police as well. So there's a whole variety. They go to, and so that can be accessed to victims. There's in rehabilitation of a crime if something's happened at a location as well. So there's a whole variety of ways in which that can be accessed, and a lot of that's through the judicial system as well.
Excellent.
That's it. So for April, what Crime Stoppers really want to say is thank you. Thank you, each of you out in the community, for your information and for being aware of what's going on in your neighbourhood. It all helps to keep our community safe.
This is the Victoria Police Community Hour with Joe Baird. That voice was Joe Baird from Crime Stoppers, Electra Wellens, Gabby Tyke, both from Victoria Police, Greg Aikens from the Anti-Violence Project. Stay with us, much more to come on the Victoria Police Community Hour. That's Good Boys from Blondie. We always encourage the community to be good boys and girls.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Good people of indescript gender.
That's right, exactly, we do.
Yeah, we want you to play. And we want to, in our community, we should not have expectations of the broader community to support us and not treat us with disrespect if we don't have the same expectation for ourselves, to ourselves and to others. So it's a chance for you to lift and lift those around you to be responsible people in our broader community.
And it's the good boys and good girls who report crime.
Well, I think it is. That's the only way to stop crime, to actually pull it in its tracks and stop the cycle.
We've had an email in from Caroline, and thanks, Caroline. She said hi to all of us and wanted to let us know that she listened to the Idaho special last week and loved it and really enjoyed Ken's interview because he seemed extremely relaxed. He's a bit more relaxed on the Joy program when he's on than when he's on other commercial radio, and I tend to agree. We're very relaxed in the studio.
Look, you can prepare a politician, you can prepare a public speaking member of the police force, but I think Ken Lowe shows there's a bit more organic to the man about how he perceives communities of culture, faith, and certainly sexuality and gender diversity. So it actually comes from within. Mm. And when you grow up, your first policing gigs in a country station, or your second policing gigs in a country station, and you grow up seeing poor policing amongst the mix of good policing, and you start to form your values, he clearly has taken that through his whole career and informs where he's going today and guiding your police force.
Yeah, it's a lot of pride and concern about reputation and that connectiveness with the community, all communities, of how that important police, how important that is for policing. We can't do it without the community. We are part of the community, and it's how we actually all work together to achieve results.
Now, working together
is a great is a great example of our partnership here with Crime Stoppers and Joy Radio and the Community Hour program. Oh, I got that right. It wasn't the Glow Show. Whoops. We have to put a dollar jar in there, won't we, every time we say the Glow Show instead.
A faux pas jar.
That's right, a faux pas jar. I love it. Okay, so we've got a Crime Stoppers crime here that I'd like to put forward to everyone. It's an armed robbery that's occurred in Blackburn. Police are working to identify a man held up a Blackburn Hotel bottle shop. The man entered a bottle shop at around about 5:20 p.m. on Sunday, the 25th of March this year. He's allegedly pulled out a knife from the pocket of his black hoodie and threatened staff and stolen cash. He's described as a Caucasian, around about 30 years old, 170 centimetres tall, with a balding blonde hair and of a medium build. We've released images of the man who we believe may be able to help assist us in our inquiries, and the case reference here where you can look it up is CA 6203.
Quite distinct, high forehead because he's got receding hairlines. Perhaps you can see in the image even some of the emerging scalp between his hair at the back of his head. Quite distinct. You'll recognise him. Definitely will recognise him if you're a member of the community that actually works or attends that particular hotel in Blackburn or any of the shops there in the Blackburn shopping strip. A lot of gays and lesbians work in that area. It might be that you've seen this man in the late afternoon, early evening, frequenting the area, and you'll recognise him if you check out the Crime Stoppers.
Yeah, on a weekend. So if you're in and around Blackburn on the weekends, this is someone that you may recognise. Definitely has a very distinctive hairline, and in fact I would say even his jumper has a particular sort of insignia on the right hand arm area as well that looks a little bit distinctive as well.
We've also got a wanted man who we would like you to help us locate. His name is Mergum Kelmendi. He's 35 years old. He's got a medium build, brown eyes, brown hair, and an olive complexion. It's alleged Kelmendi was involved in the theft of a motor vehicle in October of last year, and warrants have been issued for his arrest. So if you know someone who goes by that name, or you think you do, get onto the Crime Stoppers website, make sure it's the person you're thinking of, and give us a call. Let us know where he is.
Now, the question for the three of you, Joe, Electra and Gabby, we've got Mergum who committed a crime back in October 2011. Why now? Why is it that we start pulling together some of the past issues and bringing them forward to 2012 in June?
Well, in this particular case, I'm not 100% sure if this is the first time, because often enough we do repeatedly advertise out. So I'm not sure if this is the first occasion, Joe. Would it be for a wanted?
No, we've actually got a database of hundreds of wanted people on the Crime Stoppers website and in our files. So we go through and pull one out each week. It's doesn't change how serious the appeal is, I guess, looking for no matter how many years have passed.
Joe, is there a time limit as such that from when the police are actually looking at, so the warrant's been filed of when Crime Stoppers gets contact of where we actually launch a public campaign? Is there a timeline in which you'd ideally like to achieve that?
We don't tend to have timelines. The beautiful thing that Crime Stoppers offers is another chance at what is traditionally, I guess, a 24-hour news cycle. So a lot of the time I've had people come up and say, why do you talk about crimes from, 2009 or 2011? And I just say, because we can. We have an opportunity to get publicity and do another appeal out to the community to try to solve a crime.
And this day of US television pervading, people think, oh, there's a statute of limitations. Wrong. That's an American concept. Doesn't exist in Australia. If you've committed a crime, you can be prosecuted for it.
Well, it depends on what kind of crime that is. If it's a summary offence, a minor offence, there's usually a 12-month period. So there is a statute of limitations for some minor crimes. But other serious crimes, it's forever. You could have committed it 90 years ago, and if you're still alive, we'll still be looking for you.
Well, it's 12 months if they have to start the process within that 12-month period for them to be able to do the minor crimes. If police, for whatever reason, you're perhaps too busy with your paperwork and you haven't got around to it until the 13th month, people can't be prosecuted for the minor crimes. But certainly under 12 months, if I'm speeding down the Eastern Freeway and you've started prosecutions one day before the 12-month period, it doesn't matter how long it takes to come to conclusion, I will face my day in court.
Correct. For sure. And sometimes, as far as getting information in from the community, sometimes it's not the right time for a witness or for them personally to come forward with information at the time of the crime, but they might feel differently, or they might feel more able a year later, 2 years later. They might finally be able to let go of that weight that's been on their shoulders and actually tell someone what they know.
Absolutely. I think it's really interesting now that we've really gone over to a very... we've got a phone application that's coming. You can actually access Crime Stoppers via your phone and have a look and report stuff as well. That's where we're leading to. But it's actually interesting, a lot of these photos, if you start to think about social networking, some people have in excess of 1,000 friends. Maybe if you just even scroll through your local friends, a face that you may, if you connect that, but it's amazing how much information technology is about linking those crimes and those faces together.
Google Goggles. There's an application, Google Goggles. You take a picture of the picture and it searches through photo databases and comes up with similar pictures or names or whatever.
I feel slightly uncomfortable with that. I'm not sure why. Technology, huh?
It just gets out of control. But the point is that if you think of your point of contact of friends, and if you relate that to Crime Stoppers, of people that you know that live in Blackburn for the last armed robbery, if you could say to them, hey, you should check out Crime Stoppers, that's where we can use social networking to engage more people to get involved in Crime Stoppers too.
You're on the Community Hour with Victoria Police, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project. Join 94.9, but you're the most important part of this.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
Special song for Paul Anthony out there. Paul Anthony, thank you for co-hosting the Idaho Show last week on Victoria Police Community Hours special, the day later on Idaho Day.
And Paul will be back with us next month because we've got an extra Wednesday in the month. We've got 5, and that means Paul's here.
Yay.
It is always
pretty
good.
Now, Jo Baird.
Yes, really quickly, I need to tell you about a competition that we're launching, and I need to tell you before we go today because it closes tomorrow. Crime Stoppers Victoria is launching a new initiative called saysomething.org.au, and it aims to encourage young people to report violence. We're calling on young artists to submit works relevant to the theme Say Something for a poster competition and exhibition. So if you're a young artist or know someone who is, you have the opportunity to voice your concerns creatively and express your reaction to violence in the community, as well as ways of dealing with violence in the community, while also helping to prevent violence in the future. So aside from exploring an extremely important topic, your work will be showcased publicly at Thousand Pound Bend, which many of you will know from this year's launch of Midsummer, if you haven't been there for other exhibitions or social occasions, and it'll also be on the Say Something website. So the competition's open to people aged 16 to 26. It closes tomorrow. If you are finalists, will have the chance to have their artwork seen and judged by magazine editors and graphic designers, and you need to get across to saysomething.org.au for full details on how to enter.
Pretty powerful stuff.
It's really exciting.
I wonder who's come up with that concept, because it connects with young people really well.
It does.
Yeah. What a great opportunity, though, to get your vision across. So many people are so creative in what they can do, so it'd be great to see something from the GLBTI community.
It is, and it's such a broad topic, Say Something, if you have a think about it. You've got till 5 p.m. tomorrow. Get across to saysomething.org.au.
So can we all get along to Thousand Pound Bend?
No, that's a closed media event. They're actually launching the Say Something initiative next week, but you will hear a lot about it, from next week.
And they make great coffee there.
Great coffee.
They do. Now, as we close, I want to point out something that came across Victoria Police media today, and that was around some of the journalists attending that Nidri hostage siege last night were jumping the back fence. Can you believe this? Jumping the back fence and getting up close to a house where a man was alleged to be firing off weapons. Can you believe that?
I know. And the surprising thing is they even went on to say, hey, we've actually found a bullet that went through the rear fence and into the barrier near the freeway. So they were so in the danger zone. It was unbelievable.
Now, we at Joy, of course, are very responsible media broadcasters, and we wouldn't see Tim Lennox jumping the back fence. Maybe he can't jump the back fence, but we wouldn't see Tim or his team jumping the back fence. But if you see anything out there, don't put yourself at risk. Get onto the blower, 000 for Victoria Police. When you're safe, you can contact the Anti-Violence Project, let us know, or you can go to a GLOW, straight to a GLOW, and talk to them about your issues.
Just report to us. Anything you see that's a little bit suspicious or out of the ordinary, report in any way that's comfortable for you.
And if you know something about a crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000.
Fantastic. We look forward to seeing you next week, Gabby.
Have we got time for a fun fact from Joe, or have we run out of time?
We've got about 20 seconds, so away you go.
Fun fact from me. A $7 million painting by Picasso was stolen from the art gallery in St Kilda Road in 1986. Weeping Woman, the title of the painting, was taken from its display in the National Gallery of Victoria by a group calling itself the Australian Cultural Terrorists.
Awesome. Thank you, Joe.
And they located that painting.
They found the painting in a luggage locker at Spencer Street Railway Station, which, of course, is now Southern Cross Station.
Look, it's been fun playing. See you next week, 12 noon Wednesday, for the Victoria Police Community
Happy
Hour.
Honeymoon, Joe.
Bye-bye.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.